Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. And how do you like my automated man? It's going to take some time for me to get used to that guy, I tell you. But it's a little bit easier than having to repeat myself and forget to say something before the show and then after the show is over with. So that's why I did it, and we'll all get used to it sooner or later. I'm just waiting for my guest to call in. Today we have with us a singer, songwriter, dancer, actor. He does a little bit of everything and is fantastic at everything, I should say. And his name is Desi Valentine. So we're just waiting for him to call in. And hopefully he will do that soon, as we are now live and waiting to speak with him. I guess I could tell you guys, if you're an indie artist and you're listening to the show or you know of one and you'd like to get some airplay for your music, send your MP3s to take2radio2@gmail.com, and that's with the number 2. When you do that, please also send along any of your information, such as your Twitter, your Facebook, your website, Instagram, Reverb Nation, whatever you have, so that way I can share it with the listeners. I hate to kind of play a song by somebody and not be able to share all that information with the listeners, because then they don't know where to find you or your music. And, of course, you know, you want people to buy your music or hear more of your music and find out more about you. So that's why I ask that you do that. Also, if you'd like to have an interview, you can email the request to that same email address. And again, that's take2radio2@gmail.com. If you also are looking for somebody to help you promote your band, your gigs, your new album, your new EP, anything like that, help with social media. A lot of times you guys are just way too busy or don't know enough about social media to be able to do it yourself. You can contact Purple Rose PR, and I am part of that with my good friend Melanie, who lives in the UK, so we are global with this. And you can go to purplerosepr.com or purplerosepr.co.uk, and we are on Twitter at Purple Rose PR. We also have a Facebook page, which just look up Purple Rose PR, and you should be able to find it. So I'm going to go ahead and play a song. I'm just going to randomly choose one and try to find out where my guest is. So let's see. First song that is here is All Kinds of Crazy by Cody Prevo.
It's all right if we go all night.
do believe we have our guest with us. Desi, are you on the phone with me?
I am.
How you doing?
I am wonderful, thank you, love. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I love that you still have your accent. I am crazy about the British accent, so thank you for keeping that.
Of course. I'm a proud Londoner. Proud Londoner for sure.
Yeah, now I know that you're originally from London, so why don't we just go back in time a little bit like I do with all my guests and tell us a little bit about your background, like when you became interested in the entertainment business.
Well, honestly, I've always sung since I was a little kid, and I trained in performing arts and studied over in London doing that, so I don't really kind of know myself not doing entertainment, and then I started in musical theatre first of all initially, and then went into singing background vocals for a couple of some amazing artists, and kind of built it up that way, and started writing my own music and collaborating, and recorded an album over in England of a bit of a different genre, a bit more of a rock and roll kind of sound initially. And then came over here 2.5 years ago, over to LA, recorded an EP in which, you know, Final Warning was on, and then recorded another album, and that, so it's just been kind of on since then.
Wow, yeah. Is anybody else musical in your family?
My auntie can sing. She's got a beautiful voice, but other than that, like, we all love music. My mom and dad, especially, we had all of the old vinyl records, but maybe like 1,000 of them. They just loved them.
Wow.
surrounded by music my entire life, but I'm the only one that's really pursuing it, except for me and my auntie. They're the only ones that sing.
so you got it from her then. It was passed down through your aunt.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I know that some of your inspirations have been, like, across a lot of genres. Ella Fitzgerald, Sam Cooke, Stevie Wonder, Pink, Dolly Parton. I mean, it's quite an array. What caught your attention about these certain artists?
Well, I mean, each one of those artists has influenced me in a different way. Like, for instance, you obviously take somebody like Ella Fitzgerald, which encapsulated a feeling of jazz and real control and beauty in everything that she did. And you just really, it was just a spectacle. One of the ones I definitely grew up with. My mum was a huge fan of Ella Fitzgerald, and kind of since I was a little boy, I was listening to her singing Cole Porter songs. And I think she's incredible. But then you've got on the flip side, somebody like Dolly Parton, which in all respects in my life, I think is my favorite songwriter. Like, nobody can tell a story that, like, she can. And
isn't that
really
the truth,
that
yeah.
Into, yeah, she's incredible. And I really draw a lot of influence from that side of her. You know, I love country music and that type of thing, but it's more as a writer I look at something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you mentioned being a backup singer for some great artists. We have to put those
yes.
out there. Sir Elton John, Gloria Estefan, Leona Lewis, just to name a few. How in the world did you get a job like that? I know you have talent, but I mean, come on. These are some artists.
I believe the same thing. I feel the same way about it. I'm like, it's to even be on the stage with those people in itself is just, you know, It's a lifetime's worth of kind of dreams, really, like, to even be doing mm-hmm. that. And it stems from an agency that I worked for back over in London. And I initially booked the Gloria Estefan gig, first of all, doing a couple of Royal Variety performances for the Queen. And then just kind of off the back of that, started to get more and more, and then just before I moved over here, I did my Elton John over at the O2 performance with him. He did like a special concert for New Year's Eve. Probably one of the most amazing experiences, but dwarfing. Like, it just makes you feel so tiny.
Right.
In such a large venue. And there's 20,000 people in that thing. I don't think I've ever felt so tiny when I felt like an ant.
Now, did you get to chat at all with any of these people, or is it just you go and you do your job and you leave?
You kind of go, you do your job, and you leave. I mean, there was friendly, you know, and nice to everybody, but it's very much like a pro gig. Like, you come in, you do
right.
your thing, you're on your harmonies, you rehearse, you kind of get everything tight, and then they've got plenty of things to focus on for the most part. So, like, you just kind of leave them to do their thing,
right?
Which is fair enough. Like, okay.
Right, and you gotta leave your fanboy personality part of it on the other side and
yes.
leave it at the door, as they say.
Absolutely, leave that at the door. It's completely unfazed by you, Elton. Yeah, absolutely.
I can understand that and relate to it in a way, not as close as you were, but I did have a job in customer service, and I used to take the orders, and I had, you know, quite a few actors in that call in to place an order, and I would put my phone on mute for a second and tell my coworkers, oh my God, you're not going to believe Linda Blair is on the phone, you know, and be all excited like that, and then go back and unmute my phone, because she was talking, of course. I didn't just leave dead air. And
yeah,
I would go back and say, oh, thank you. And yes, we can place that order for you today, or, you know, and act all professional. While my friends
yeah.
in the background are going, oh, my God, you know.
It's it. It makes you even cooler in the eyes of your friends, because they're like,
right.
how is she holding herself together right now? And you're like, oh, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It was just too funny.
That's
so,
awesome.
But yeah, you have to be a professional all the way around when you do things like that, and especially in the music business, you're going to be working with people or around them, or, you know, even opening for somebody, you know, and you
yeah.
just have to do your job, and that's it. So
yeah,
I can understand,
yeah.
but it's so exciting. Gosh, I can't even imagine being in the same space as them.
No, it's still in my memory is one of the most special, you know, the special times in my life. I mean, you even get to do that, to even do that in a lifetime is pretty amazing. So yeah,
right,
that's it.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Now, when did you decide to go solo with your music and stop, or did you even stop being a backup singer for anybody? I would imagine you did.
For some reason, I lost you at the beginning of that bit there. So can you repeat the question for me?
Sure,
like
sure.
Game, so.
I was asking, when did you decide to go solo with your music and not do backup singing?
Well, the two things actually kind of happened at the same time, really. I loved doing the backing vocal stuff, but I'm a writer, and I've got songs in my own voice that I want to put out there, and I don't
right.
want to just be behind the scenes, the whole thing. And as much as I always loved singing songs, any songs, you know, whether they're mine or not, there's truly nothing like performing a song that you've written or is something you've drawn from your life and your experience. There really isn't anything like it. It doesn't matter if there's two people in the audience or if it's 20,000 people in the audience. There's truly nothing like it. And once I started doing that, I was hooked on it. I was like, this is really what I want to be doing. And there's nothing more fulfilling than that.
That's your life's goal. It's just inside you. It's your passion, and you got to go for it. And thankfully you did,
yes.
because you have an awesome voice that I can't imagine just staying in the background for the rest of your, you know, your life. You have to be out there in the front and doing it, your own music. And speaking of that, your debut album, Back to Me, was in 2010.
Yes.
Would you tell us more about it and, like, what kind of emotions ran through you when you finished it?
Well, Back to Me was, God, it feels like forever ago now. Back to Me, when it first, to even put it all, it was the first time I'd really done a full project, a full body of work, and I'd started writing quite a long time prior to that, but the first time I was like real experiences that were actually happening in my life, and one of the songs that's about my dad, and it's about past relationships and things I'd gone through within that period of time, that it was the first time I'd really put pen to paper with emotions behind it, my emotions behind it. So to, once it was finished and done and dusted and I have like a proper finished product, I think that I've never been so proud as that. It was the first time of really listening from start to finish, like an entire record, you know, then I'm the artist throughout and the writer throughout, you know, an entire thing. So, and it was exhausting as well, like financially and emotionally, and there was so much there, and I was working with an incredible guitarist, a great producer at the time. It was locked, very fast paced. These things are very expensive. Time right. in the studio that costs you by, you're charged by the hour, part charged by the minute even. So, yeah, by the time it was all wrapped up and done, it was just, it was a true accomplishment. It was, but I felt incredible after that.
Well, it has to be amazing to be able to do that. I mean, there's so much work that goes into just one song, let alone a full album. I can't even imagine, you know, all the emotions and all the work and all the money and all the time and everything that goes through with that. And then you have your finished product, and you're almost, I would imagine, feeling like, oh, thank God it's done. But wait, should I go back and try something else? Are you like a perfectionist?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, you have to just make your peace. At some point, mm-hmm. I think you've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, but to get, you have to draw a line at some point. Otherwise, you really will never finish anything.
Right.
and I know a bunch is true, because as we're going along, I'm a different singer and a different writer and a different person than I was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I was writing that. And you're always evolving, you're always learning, you're always stuff. So you can keep going back to your old thing and being like, oh, actually, let me just tweak this. Oh, I could sing that better now. Oh, I could do this now. Oh, actually, I'm going to change that lyric. You really will just never, ever complete the task. You've just got to draw the line and be like, I did the best I could for what I know for right now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's everything's got to evolve. And I think that the fans really appreciate that too, because they get to grow with you. You know, they hear it at the beginning how you were, and it's scratching the surface of what you could potentially do, and it grows like the next piece of work, the next piece of music that you're doing, and the next album. They can hear it. They're growing with you, you know, and that's something
that's so
that you, I think you shouldn't phone in as well. You know, you should go through that. It's a process.
That's so true. But as I've told other artists that I've had on my show, when the fans hear your music, we don't nitpick it to death like you guys do. So, you know, it's a good thing. We listen to the music, we listen to the lyrics, and if we're happy with both, then we want more, you know, just keep it coming. And sometimes you notice, you know, if somebody's gotten better at something, but most of the time we're just happy that we're getting music from an artist that we love. So just keep that in your mind, too, when you're doing your work.
I definitely will. That's really great advice. That's really great advice. Yeah.
As long as we can sing and dance or relate to it, then we're all good.
Yeah, for definitely.
Well, from that album and the success that you've had in entertainment arena, you were contacted by Beluga Heights Records, who hired you as a songwriter in 2012. What was that like? What type of songs did they want you to write for them?
Well, honestly, it was more like they'd give you the artist that was particularly looking for songs or looking for collaborations. So I only worked with them for a short period of time because then I started really focusing on writing for myself. But, yeah, I had to submit for a Sean Kingston song. So it's, you know, to, like, create that, write that, and pitch that over to them and have a bit of backwards and forwards of whether they like it or elements they do or don't like it. And did the same thing with Justin Bieber for his album in 2013, I think it came out. In the end, there are a couple of songs that they really, really liked, and you've just got to kind of, like, tweak it to what they like. I enjoy that side of writing because it's challenging, but it's weird because I'm used to writing for myself now, so I kind of, I don't want it to come across as insincere when I'm just kind of, like, just making anything up just to fit somebody else. Yeah, it's kind of a weird line in between the two things. So I prefer, honestly, to just write a song for myself, and if somebody wants to use that song, then they can use it, you know, as it is.
Right.
And relate it to themselves. But, yeah, that's the best way for me to personally write, because that way, when you do perform it, people believe you because it's actually real. It's a real story. It's a real thing that's happened to you or you've gone through.
Exactly. And everybody, every songwriter, every singer out there or whatever has their own way of doing things. And it's kind of hard, I can see, you know, trying to do it for them when
you're used to
doing it for yourself. And that would be anybody writing songs, you know, for somebody else. So you just, like you said, you just write the song. If they love it, then they use it. If they don't, well, then there's another song for you to put on your next album.
Yes, exactly that. And it's, and you never stop writing. You never stop creating. It's just, it's part of the job and it's part of the creative outlet, like just having loads of collaborations and ideas flying around all the time, because you just never know what song in particular might just be very magical. And you just took, like, an indie producer and put it with, like, a blues vocalist and something magic happens. You know, that's pretty much what happened with Rolling in the Deep and Adele. It was, you know, predominantly indie producer with a pop writer, pop blues writer, and a pop blues voice, which is Adele's amazing voice. And then all bets are off. It's just something incredibly cool that, you know, people wish they'd come up with. Like,
yeah, the magic happens. That's for sure. Now, when they hired you, is that when you decided to move to the U.S. full-time?
No, I'd initially moved over here prior to that because I started laying the groundwork in, like, 2010, when I first ever came over to visit, when I knew that this is kind of where I wanted to be. So I've been working with a producer and writing with a producer called Mike Castanguay, who produced the Final Warning EP. And we'd done some backwards and forwards for then, but I had always planned to come and move to LA. It was always part of my plan. As soon as I'd come, I'd set my sights on moving here, and then I was towards that. From that moment onwards. So, yeah, and then it just to fall into place with the Beluga Heights thing, and then everything else just slotted in the way it needed to. But, yeah, I was kind of always on my own little mission. I always am. Like, always on my own little one-man mission thing and just trying to find the best people and the best opportunities around me. Push me to be better.
Well, I think you've accomplished that.
Oh, thank you so much. You're a sweetheart.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, what do you think the difference is between British music and American music?
Oh, that is such an interesting and broad question.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really couldn't put my finger on what the difference really is between the two. I think for the most part of the artists that really influenced me over the years, between whether they be Americans or whether they be English, I think that there seems to be a vulnerability and an ability to kind of be very vulnerable and very and touch the person. Do you mean that it really touches you? Right. I find that that's one of the main things from both sides of it. I actually cannot tell you the answer to that. Like, I really can't. I can't. But it's like you've got some incredible British acts that have, like, crossed over to America and done incredibly well. And then you've got some American artists that have, like, conquered the globe.
Right.
Very much so. And it's like, I suppose in the mainstream nowadays, I'd say that it's a little bit more artistic, the artists that we get from England. Like, you do get Adele and, like, your Sam Smith and that kind of, and Amy Winehouse. And it really penetrates. I think that the writers that really, like, Ed Sheeran as well, incredible writer, incredible performer, just seem to mean everything that you're singing and writing about. There are American artists I very, very much respect. I think they're fantastic, but it's a little bit more spectacle and a little bit more theatrical, like your Brianna or your Katy Perry or you know that kind of Lady Gaga thing. It's like it's all good writers in their own right, but it's not as sentimental, or not sentimental, but it doesn't penetrate. I don't think the writing comes from exactly the same place that touches the heart as much, in my opinion.
Right. You know, and it's funny because I kind of think the same thing, too. I get a lot of music submitted to me, as you can imagine. And it's funny. I find myself playing the majority of my music from artists from Britain. From the UK.
Really?
I mean, even from Ireland in that, I get a lot of music. And I tend to go towards that because when I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, God, I really love this. And could never explain to myself, you know, what pulls me towards that music. But it just does. And I think what you're saying, where it touches your heart and, you know, the lyrics and that just really, I don't know, so many emotions or something, and I just love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And nothing against the Americans, like you said. I have
of
so many favorite bands, you know, in America, but it's just something about the British music that just pulls me towards them.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it seems to penetrate a little bit closer to the heart, I think, somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, I have to ask you about your lead in the play Fame. That was one of my all-time favorite movies and TV shows from back in the day. And no, I'm not telling you how old I am. How did you end up getting that part, and what was it like?
Well, God, yes. Fame. I mean, that's such a long time ago. But still, once again, one of the most shaping experiences of my life. I think that's when I truly learned how to really feel truly comfortable on stage, like on your own, and hold your own on the stage. Like you've got an entire orchestra underneath you. And you've got to hold it. There's nothing else to hide behind. There's nothing. You've really got to hold the attention of and really command the stage and own it. And I very much learned that experience of Fame, and probably one of the most challenging things I've done along the way as well. Physically demanding, the dancing in that show was just mental. And, you know, you have these two show days where you wouldn't even, you'd have like a half an hour break in between the two shows, and you're still pouring with sweat from the previous show.
Gosh.
Trying to stick your mic tape back on you again to make sure your microphone's in place properly. And you have literally half an hour just to kind of like throw some food in your face and like wipe yourself down with a towel and get back on stage again. And, you know, it's physically and emotionally demanding too, because the part is written, the plot is written for, like, it's a sentimental story, you know. It's a guy that has learning disabilities and it's really never really come to terms with that, and just has a natural talent to dance and is from the streets and stuff like that. And the one thing that I wanted to do, because obviously I'm a British boy and I'm pretty well spoken for the most part, and I'm furthest from that character, I just didn't want anybody to see any of me in that. I only wanted my own friends to come and see it and not recognize me, and not, because otherwise, you know, you've got to really commit to it and have it be that.
Yeah.
So one emotionally demanding too. You know, you really have to be on top form in that respect.
Oh, gosh, I can imagine. Mike, two shows a day with only a half hour in between, that's insane. I mean, you really have to be dedicated, and obviously you were. So thankfully, you know, all worked out. Now, as far as, you know, doing a musical play is one thing, but and you have to be an actor, you know, besides a singer, to be able to do a play, I believe that. And as well as even doing your own video, you have to be some type of actor as well. Now, do you see yourself getting into other things like movies or TV shows?
I've had opportunities to do that type of stuff, but I'm not saying that it would be off the table, because I do enjoy doing it. I do enjoy, like, acting and that type of thing, but I don't know. Like, it'd have to be, like, the right thing that would come about that would really inspire me, because any time that I'm not doing music, you know, I feel like I want to be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So as much as it's great to do acting stuff and get little bits and bobs come through in that respect, where the people ask me to do it, and it's definitely fun, but, you know, to sing is my truest passion, you know, so,
right.
And once again, and seconded only by writing as well, so in an acting situation, I didn't get to do neither.
Right. Well, sometimes there's TV shows where you can sing on there too, but it's not often. I mean, like a show like Glee. I mean, you could do that. You know, that has acting.
Yeah, definitely.
Singing,
I mean, I watch all these shows like Nashville. I've got singing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got country music, which I do love. But as I say, like, give me a tour any day, you know. Really,
right. Well, I won't push you to be an actor, because you do. I do love your singing, so yeah, you can stick with that. I was just curious to know, since you did that play and also the Mel Brooks, the producer's play, and which is another phenomenal play, show, movie, you know, everything that they've done with it. Mel Brooks is another genius at writing. Now, as far as your new EP, Final Warning, why don't you tell us a little bit more how that EP came together, and what did you learn from making your first album to this EP when making it?
Well, I changed genres quite drastically between the first album and the EP. So I was kind of dousing myself in another different genre of music to kind of support that. So I went back to listening to funk and soul and really delving into blues and that type of thing, because I knew that was the type of music that I was going to be creating for the EP. And I'd been writing and coming up with some little ideas, but when I met producer Mike Cassingway, we hit it off straight away, and it was, it was the perfect catalyst to start everything off, and he just started sending me some incredible music to, like, write to, and I'd send him to tell him some ideas that I'd want to write about, and he'd kind of create the music around that, and it very organically and quickly came into place, and that's a kind of Final Warning and Office Girl and Slow Season and those type of songs all came together very, very, very quickly. And, wonderful. It was a very different process than what Back to Me was. I was thinking it was a little bit more hands-on with Back to Me, because I was in every little aspect of it. But me and Mike were sending the files and recording files backwards and forwards from while I was in England half the time, and then I was in LA the other half. So, and then Mike is actually based here in LA, so it was difficult in that respect, and I wasn't as, you know, embedded in the whole thing as I was to the EP, but I felt closer to the lyrical side of things.
Well, thank God for technology, right?
Yeah, definitely that.
I mean, just think about it, you know, not that long ago, you couldn't do that with being in England and him being here in L.A. You know, you always would have to be together to get all this done, and these days you can do it no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true, and it's they've made it so easy to do it as well. It's not even like a drama. It's actually very easy to say. Record the files, send them in a little Dropbox thing, and the person's got it immediately, and it, you know, they're on the other side of the world.
Exactly. Now, how do you pick the songs that go on any of, you know, your album or your EP? Do you run through a bunch of them and just pick your favorites, or do you kind of go with a theme?
Just really depends. Certain songs on any piece of any new bit of work you're doing, like whether it be an EP or an album or whatever, certain songs just pop out and you're like, there's no way that we can't put that song on there.
Mm-hmm.
There are standout tracks or just incredibly catchy or incredibly touching, or, you know, so certain things really make the decision for you. But what we did was we wrote and created a bunch of songs and picked the best ones.
Okay, that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely that. So you kind of like, and then you always got extra songs, you know, the extra songs maybe for the next album or
exactly
for another artist to use, or, you know, it's better to have it that way rather than just having like writing 10 songs and putting those 10 songs on an album. You know, you never know what you're going to create. So write 20 and pick the best 10, you know.
Right. Now, are you going on tour or doing any gigs that you'd like to tell our listeners about with this album? Or
well,
with this EP? I call everything
moment,
an album,
just,
forgive me.
Yeah. At this moment, honestly, it's writing time. I'm doing lots of new collaborations and just kind of drawing on a bunch of other different producers, and I'm becoming kind of proficient on the keys myself, so I'm kind of now playing around with those ideas. So it's writing time for me. I'm playing some shows. I just headlined Hotel Cafe about a week ago. Had a wonderful show over there, but it's not the focus at this very moment. It's I'll probably play another show the end of the summer, kind of thing, and something like that in LA. But yeah, as I say, it's now's the time to definitely be creating and writing new stuff.
Well, when you have time to stop and smell the roses, as they say, what do you like to do?
For my time, I love food. Yes, it's my second love of my life. Music first, definitely, and food second. I love to cook and go out and eat in loads of different places and find new food and that type of thing. I try and go and see live concerts as much as I can. Try and go and make it so that I'm actually getting to be entertained rather than being the person entertaining all the time, and
right.
Really get reminded as to why you love doing what you do. You know, when you go and see a great show, there's nothing like it. And then just hanging out with my mates. I'm lucky in that respect. We've got wonderful, wonderful friends here, and, you know, just hang out.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do. You have to take time to yourself, no matter how much you feel like working because you want to accomplish a lot of things. You have to stop sometimes and just take some downtime. Otherwise, you'll make yourself crazy.
Yeah, I really,
we don't want
really
that.
Agree with that. I really do agree with that. Very true. I've come close a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I'm hoping that you have your family and your friends that say, Desi, stop, talk to us, pick up the phone,
you know,
let's go for a drive, let's go out and do something. You have to have the people supporting you, you know, help you out that way as well. So that's a great thing.
Yeah,
now, I have a fun question
true.
For you. If you could give some advice to 16-year-old Desi from Desi Now, what would it be?
Good one. what would be my advice to myself? I'd tell myself to start learning to play the piano. That's what I would do. Absolutely. Because I'm now learning it. I've always been able to like read music, whatever, but I'm now learning how to actually play the piano, and it's really hard. And you're supposed to like, when you're younger, your capacity to learn new things is so much better. So absolutely, that's what I'd say. I'd be like, do it. Do it now.
Yeah.
It's only going to benefit you. That's it. And I'll get to this point now, but that's it. I can play the piano for, you know, 10 years or whatever. So I'm like,
And I'm sure it'll help with your songwriting as well, you know, once you learn how to play the piano. Because I know a lot of people will use the piano or a guitar when they do their songwriting.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be writing new things on the piano. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners, I want you to know you can follow Desi on Twitter at Desi Valentine, and it's DESI, like my favorite from Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
That's it.
And Valentine is like Valentine's Day, so it's pretty easy. I love your name. It's wonderful. And now, I noticed that your website is under construction. Is that going to be up and running soon?
Yes. Within the next 2 weeks, it'll be back up and running with all of the new songs and the new pictures and the new format. And I've got a streaming blog that's going to be going through there. So there's going to be lots of new information coming through. And it's just like I wanted a way to really communicate with fans and gain new people and kind of keep a blog going through the whole thing. So it's going to be a lot more exciting with lots of new features to look forward to.
Wonderful. I can't wait to see that. So when it's up and running, it's DesiValentineMusic.com. And then you also are on Facebook. So it's Facebook.com/DesiValentine. And you have a YouTube channel, which would be YouTube.com/DesiValentineMusic. So you make it real easy for everybody to find you.
I do try.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to play Final Warning for our listeners. Unfortunately, I couldn't upload the other music for some reason. I don't know if it was my computer, but I know that Michelle had sent me some more music, and it just wouldn't work, and I'm so sad about that, but at least we can get Final Warning out there. Yeah,
yes,
I know.
If I
can get it to work, though, if we work this out somehow, I do play music on Mondays. I will definitely play more of your music then.
Sure. Well, we'll find a way to get it over to you for definite so you can find it in a format you can definitely play.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Now, they can purchase your EP, Final Warning, on iTunes, Amazon. I'm sure anywhere that music is downloadable these days, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any physical CDs from at your previous work or any in the works for future stuff, or will you stick with the download?
I do. It's mainly on downloads for the moment, but you come to see a show, as soon as the website is back up and running, like you can just see when the next shows are. Because when I'm actually playing a live show, I sell the CDs and stuff like that, my brand new stuff, my brand new album, Last Kiss. So, you'll be able to come down. It's going to be a wonderful experience to kind of come down and get a CD of what you're hearing right there and then.
Oh, definitely. I think that's, you know, one of the best things that any artist can do when they have a concert or a gig or whatever you want to call it. And the fans can purchase things either before or after, because I know I do it every single time. And that helps you guys, too, because you make some money and you can make more music. So, hey, it's a win-win all the way around.
That's it. And you're going to know the words for the next time you come to the concert.
Right.
That's it.
right. Well, thank you again, and please keep in touch with me. I wish you all the success in your upcoming endeavors.
Thank you so much, love. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. You enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll chat again soon.
All right, my love. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for our listeners, here is Final Warning.
I cannot believe that you wouldn't believe when I was saying to you that he's lying. You were blinded by loving you. Look in those eyes, he is spreading those lies even. One at a time, he could separate you from any reason. Yeah, any reason. I'm giving up, cause you don't give a fuck what I say. Time's up, got to learn it the hard way. Way, learning the hard way. Where is your money? Where are your friends? You should take a look around. I'm the only one.
Valentine, be sure to pick up his EP. You're absolutely going to love it. I love that song and the video that goes with it, so be sure to check that out on YouTube. And I want to thank everybody for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another hour or so of some great indie music from around the world. And thanks again to Desi, who is my wonderful guest, and Michelle for helping me set this up. And we'll get more music from Desi and we'll be playing that on the music show so that way you can hear more of his wonderful voice. And I look forward to our next guest, which will be on next Wednesday. Let me look real quick at the date. That's July 30th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to welcome back country rock artist Chase Allen, and he's going to update us on his music as well as his new UK tour that's coming together. So join us again that day as well. And that's it. Everybody enjoy the rest of their day, and we'll see you again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.